Let's pray before we go any further. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us in every situation, in all circumstances, your faithfulness to us, your kindness, your grace, your patience. We do just pray that you would help us as we look at your word tonight, as we look at Jesus' words to everybody that was listening to him during the Sermon on the Mount, and everybody that listens to him now, today as well. We pray that you'd give us ears to hear what you need us to hear. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where someone has been listening to you speak, and they've obviously been more interested in how you're speaking than in what you're actually saying? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Where you've been speaking and you could tell someone's looking at you kind of blankly, because they're thinking about your accent, or you're thinking about your intonation, or maybe you've stumbled over your words a couple of times, and they're thinking more about that than they are thinking about what you were trying to communicate. I've been in situations growing up with a load of Americans where my accent has been the thing that people have been listening to, and what I've been saying has been secondary. And, you know, once I got to know people, they were used to my accent, and that was fine, but it was a few years ago when I went over to the States to see some of the friends I'd grown up with, American friends that I'd grown up with. And suddenly I found in the States that actually, for a lot of people where I was, they'd never really come across someone who didn't have an American accent. And so in shops and ice skating rinks and restaurants and things like that, I found that suddenly, because I spoke differently, people would listen to me and they'd be more concerned with how I was speaking rather than what I was saying. So we went to an ice skating rink in Philadelphia, I think it was. And it took me twice as long as everybody else to get my skates, because everybody wanted to know where I was from and what I was doing there. And, you know, some people just stopped and just sort of stared at me like I was Prince Harry or something. They'd never heard anything like me. There's another situation where I was in a Mexican restaurant in, I think it was in Tennessee, and I just opened my mouth and I just said, "Oh, can I have the burger, please?" or something like that. And the waitress just stopped in her tracks and smiled at me and said, "Where are you from?" And it was just sort of, I just had to spend a good 5 minutes just talking about where I was from and what I was doing there. And the whole time I just wanted a burger. I just wanted to be like, "Yeah, I'm not here to entertain you. I just want a burger. The burger looks good. I'm hungry. Get me the burger." But how I was speaking was more interesting to her than what I was actually saying. There's another situation in New York where I just needed the toilet. And again, because an English person says bathroom very differently to how a New Yorker does, suddenly I wasn't really heard. How I was speaking was way more interesting than what I was saying. And when it comes to customer service, what we need, if we're trying to get something in a shop or something like that, what we need is someone to be an active hearer, don't we? Someone to hear us and actually do what it is we want them to do. Tell me where the toilet is. Bring me my burger, whatever it might be. Get me my ice skates. That's what I'm really interested in. That's why I'm speaking, is so that you will do something. In customer service situations, we don't need passive hearers. People that just enjoy listening, enjoy having that message, but actually don't intend to do anything about it. It's just entertainment. It's just something that interests them, that they like to be around, but it has no impact on their lives. We want active hearers when it comes to customer service, don't we? Not passive hearers. And actually, in this part of the Bible, at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he talks about there being two types of hearers that can listen to his teachings. Passive hearers and active hearers. And he says there's a big difference between the two, between passive hearers and active hearers. But it's really important that we stop and we check ourselves and we think, okay, what kind of hearer have I been? What kind of hearer am I now? What kind of hearer am I going to be as I move forward? Because Jesus has been speaking to his disciples mainly here. It's always really important that we remember who Jesus is speaking to when we look at the teachings of Jesus. It's very easy to quote a verse from Jesus or a story or a parable from Jesus and completely apply it to the wrong situation because we haven't considered who Jesus was talking to. When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, who are very convinced of their own religious significance, he'll say things to them that he wouldn't say to somebody who's really struggling, thinks that they're separated from God. So we have to bear in mind who Jesus is talking to. That's very important when we're trying to apply the Bible to ourselves. And it's important when we apply the Beatitudes, the sort of the blessed are, it's really important. And it's really important just to remember who Jesus is talking to at this point. Throughout this sermon, if you have a look back at chapter 5, verse 1, you'll see that as Jesus begins to speak, he goes up on the mountain, he sits down, which is what rabbis would normally do when they're about to teach for an extended amount of time, and the disciples come to him. So disciples are his primary audience. But then what we're going to see in our passage tonight is that there's actually a whole crowd that's listening in on that as well. But these are people that believe in God, that are interested in Jesus, and are kind of on the edges, on the fringes, if you want. So as we kind of jump this forward to us, then we can apply this to Christians, following on from the disciples, and all the kind of extra people that you get in church. There's always visitors. There's always relatives that are around. There are always children that have grown up in the church but aren't necessarily believing yet, or just don't really know where they are yet. So I think we can apply this to, this is Jesus speaking to the church community, those that really belong to him and know they belong to him, and all those on the edges who don't really know where they are. That's who we're really talking to here. And as Jesus speaks to them, he says, right, well, you've heard something about me. What have you heard? And what kind of hearer have you been? So that's what we're going to do. But before we go any further, let's just stop and let's pray that God would help us to be the right kind of hearers as we look at this passage tonight. Okay? Let's pray that God would help us to just hear everything that we've got to see tonight in the right way and be active hearers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the warnings that it has for us, the rebukes it has for us, the encouragements. We just pray that you would just help each of us that's listening to this passage tonight to hear it the way you need us to hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So really all we're going to do tonight is we're just going to look at those two types of hearers, the passive hearers and the active hearers. We're just going to look at those and we're just going to challenge ourselves and just think, okay, which ones have I been? Which one do I intend to be as I go forward? So firstly, we're going to look at active hearers. And we see active hearers in verse 24 to 25 in this passage. Before we go any further, let's just read the passage, shall we? We've got this, I've given you a little bit of a reminder who Jesus is speaking to. Over these last few chapters, we've had Jesus go through all sorts of different types of teaching, talking about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow him, how it transforms every aspect of your life. But he's wrapped all of that teaching up, really, in chapter 7, verse 12, and he said this. He said, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then he's gone through a kind of a series of different little warnings. And then he wraps up with these verses, verse 24 to 29 at the end of chapter 7. So I'm going to read that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. I know some of you are saying the sound is a little bit weak, so I'm going to scoot forward a little bit. It might be that I'm a bit echoey here, and it'll be a bit better if I come that way. If it's still weak once I get over to you, then I'm not sure what else to do. Sorry, it might be your end that the problem is. Okay. Matthew 7, verse 24 to 29. This is what Jesus says. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So, two types of hearers. The first type of hearer we see in verse 24 to 25, we kind of get the imagery pretty easily, don't we? The whole idea of hearing it, applying it, and the picture language that Jesus uses. This is kind of favourite Sunday school language in a lot of ways. But look at what Jesus says here. Just look at the verses again. Jesus says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Remember what Jesus has done over the last few chapters. He's kind of challenged us again and again, those who would live for him. He's rebuked us often. He said, "You have heard it said this. This is what you're used to doing. But I say this, the bar for living as a follower of Jesus is up here. You've been acting like it's down here." And as he says, as he gets to this point here, he's challenging us to really be an active hearer, a really active hearer. Because remember, this Jesus is now speaking to people that have been listening over the last few chapters. It's easy when we kind of look at passages, you know, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, to forget that actually Jesus has been saying one long sermon this whole time. And these people have been sitting there and have been listening. Most immediately, obviously, his disciples. We saw that in 5 verse 1. But more than that, these crowds, have a look at verse 28. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings. So there's been a whole crowd of people listening in as well. And within this group that Jesus has been addressing, there are people that are going to be proper followers of his, true disciples of his that are going to die for him. But within this wide range, there's all sorts of other people that are slightly on the edges looking in as well. And within that group, there'll be loads of people that will go on to be proper disciples themselves. And there's others that will probably drift away. But the point is, at this point, they have heard something of the Lord Jesus. And so it's worth us just stopping and considering for a moment, what have we heard already? For you and for me, what have we already heard about the Lord Jesus in our lives? For some of us, we'll have always heard about the Lord Jesus ever since we were tiny. We'll have been raised within the church community, maybe. We will have been taught stories like this. We would have sung a little song about building your house on the sandy land or the rock, or whatever it might be. And this will be very, very familiar to us. But what have we already heard? What have we already seen about Jesus from the Bible? Just consider. What are the big headline things that you already know about Jesus? Just think about it for a minute. What are the core things that you have already heard about Jesus in your life? Just think for a moment. Now, as you think about those core things, I know it's hard to kind of sum it all up, but as you think about those core things that you've already heard about Jesus, just consider, what difference have those things made to the way you live, to the way you feel about life, to what motivates you in your day-to-day living? What difference have those core truths about Jesus made to you? And not just the big broad strokes things that we've heard about Jesus in our lifetime that affect our lives now, but what have you heard about Jesus just in these last few chapters of Matthew? Just consider that for a few moments. Think back to last week. Think back to the week before that. Think back to the week before that, and I know that it's testing our memories, but what in what Jesus has said in the Sermon on the Mount has stood out to you? Just think for a moment. Maybe flick back a page or two. Because Jesus is just finishing a sermon here, and he's saying, "Have you heard this the right way?" So it's right for us to stop and say, well, what have we heard? What has stood out to me over the last few weeks? What that Jesus has told me has really been important? And as you think about those things in terms of what just sticks out to you that you can remember, out of those things that you've seen over the last few weeks, what have you applied? What has made a real difference to how you see everything that's going on around you? Maybe it was the passage about not being anxious. Did that really affect you? What difference did that make to how you saw the world around you at the moment? Or the passage where Jesus was talking about God being the one who gives good gifts, so we should ask, we should seek, we should knock. Maybe it was further back, maybe it was the passage about judging others, or maybe it was about the different types of fruit, or the narrow and the hard way. But what things really has Jesus said over the last few weeks that you have heard and you have actively done something about? It's affected you. Maybe there's not been a deliberate, Jesus said this, so I'm going to do this, but just stop and consider. How actively have you heard, even over the last few weeks? Because Jesus speaks here of active hearers. Verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Hears and does. There will have been people that Jesus was speaking to up on this hill, amongst the crowd, that would have heard what Jesus said about sin, what Jesus said about false religiosity, would have said about judging others or putting your trust in the wrong places, and they would have thought, that's me. He's talking about me. I've been wrong in what I've been doing. As Jesus was speaking, people would have been challenged and would have repented and would have asked for forgiveness and said, I've been doing things wrong. I'm not going to do that anymore. God, help me to do this instead. Help me as I seek to live for you in this way instead of living wrongly in the way I have been up until now. That would have been happening in the crowd. We don't know all the details of who was there. But Jesus is talking about active hearers here. And he says that when scripture is spoken, people change. And Jesus is saying it's not enough just to hear and not change, actually to hear and actively respond. And that's the way scripture is generally. When God talks to us, he's not just trying to entertain us. He's not just trying to give us something stimulating to think about. He's speaking words that make a difference. They're spoken by God himself, God the Spirit, speaking himself, giving us the words that we have on the page, and his work coming at us, coming through it, to actually change us, to actually grow us in the likeness of Christ, to bring us to repentance if we don't know him yet. Remember 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is profitable, it's useful, it teaches, it corrects, it makes a difference as somebody reads it, considers it, hears it properly. There is a result intended as God speaks in scripture. There has been a result intended as God has spoken a scripture to you over the last few weeks from Matthew's gospel. And so the question for us is, how actively have we heard? What difference has it made to our lives? It's important that we consider this because look at what Jesus says about those that are active hearers. Those that are active hearers, Jesus says here, they endure. They're like those who build their house on the rock. I'm not a gardener, I don't have a garden. My family, everybody else in my family has a garden and they're always going on in the WhatsApp group about what flower is this and what's doing well this time of year and what not. But whenever I've been in the garden, I've had to do any digging. The worst thing that's ever is when you hit a huge rock and you start digging and it's just topsoil and it's all good and then you get to rock and you just can't get any further. And digging through rock is an absolute nightmare. It's way easier to just dig through sand or dig through soil. Digging through rock is a right pain, even today with the big old power tools that we have. If you go to a quarry or you go somewhere where they've got to get a big old power drill and get through the rock, it's still an absolute nightmare, isn't it? Just they've got to have huge earmuffs on and these people are just being taken within an inch of their life. Digging through rock is hard, hard work. And it would have been a lot harder back in this time. They would have just had hand tools to dig through rock. But look at what Jesus is saying here about how hard it is to be an active hearer. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to take God's word, to hear it well, to apply it well, and to always do that. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. It's not easy digging through rock. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus uses the language of it being hard, because remember what he's just said in verse 13 of chapter 7. He's talked about the life of a disciple as being the hard way, the narrow way. To live as a disciple of Jesus, to live as somebody who hears God's word as being something that should be, something that is brought into my life and change me and affect me, that's not easy. That's the hard option. But so worth it. It's so worth it. Because those who listen to the Bible as active hearers and apply it, they're building something that will last for eternity as they do that. Verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. So in this picture language, what are these winds, these rains, these floods? Are they just the trying times of life? Are we talking about judgment day here? What's the deal? I think it's all of that. I think it's the human experience. It's about the way we live life, but also the way life ends and where we're all headed towards. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying that those who hear his words rightly and have their lives changed by his words, they endure. They have a truth anchor that holds them and that they hold to when everything else around them changes and gets uncertain and gets difficult. It doesn't mean that the life of a Christian is easy. We've seen that in this chapter very clearly. Just because we've got anchor to hold to doesn't mean we're never going to suffer. We're never going to have difficulties. But when those difficulties come, we have something to hold that will never, never fail us. And so there is a way in which the Christian can endure because of the words of Jesus and because they've heard those words in a way that nobody else can. Think about our current situation with a virus disrupting everything that everybody relies on. Our whole system is affected by this. And remember how we see things differently because of Jesus' words. When we look back at the passage about anxiety, who really provides? Who ultimately do we rely on? And we can really rest in that. We can really endure at times like this because we hear Jesus' words and they actually make a difference to us. And so we endure. Doesn't mean we find it any easier than anyone else, but we endure. When we're going through situations where, I mean, that's a situation where everyone's in the same sort of boat, isn't it? But when we're in situations when we're the only ones that are suffering, everyone else is all right, but you've got something really particular, your circumstances are very difficult, and no one else has it as well. The kind of circumstances where our non-Christian friends might say to us, how can you believe in God when this is what you're going through? And you respond by saying, it's because I believe in God that I can get through this. It's because that's the only thing I'm clinging to. I would have been broken by this a long time ago if it wasn't for Jesus' words of truth to me. And so in the circumstances of life, these are the rains, the winds, the storms that batter us, and we endure through those if we hear Jesus' word actively. But not only that, but also death. This is something that holds us through death. The active hearer of Jesus' words will not fall, not through life, not through death. Because even death is encompassed, is swallowed up, is redeemed by a living, active faith in Jesus that comes through hearing his words rightly and believing in them. And so now, for the believer in Jesus, death is not to be feared. And the judgment day that follows death needn't be feared either. Because on that day, when we stand before the judge of all human history, Jesus will hold us fast. We'll have heard his message. We'll know who we ultimately rely on. And he will hold us fast. Through the trials, through the storms, through the difficulties of this life, through the pain and the separation of death, to the terror of the judgment day. Those who hear Jesus' words actively will endure through all of that. So, verse 24, verse 25, the active hearer. Is that who you are? Do verses 24 and 25 describe you? Are you an active hearer? Do you continue to be an active hearer? Have you been an active hearer of Jesus? Some of those Jesus is speaking to here will be. Some of us looking at this passage tonight will be. Probably most of us, but I don't know. I don't know who all is out there. But we need to hear this as a warning as well. There's a lot of encouragement here if we are clinging to Jesus, but there's also a warning. Because Jesus speaks of two types of hearers. He's spoken of the active hearers, but he also speaks of passive hearers. Let's think about them now. And we see them in verse 26 through to the end, 26 to 29. These are people that have heard Jesus' words, heard the same things other people have heard. And they have paid attention to it. You know, they might have found it interesting, they might have been impressed by it. We see in verse 28 that they're astonished by Jesus' teaching. So there's something about this kind of sermon that actually has really had an impact on these people. I mean, they've never really seen anything like Jesus, never really heard anything like this at all. And they might go away from this sermon today thinking, I never thought about things like that. Wow, that's really interesting. They might have gone away from this sermon thinking, that was so moving. I feel really emotionally like I've just connected to something. They may well have felt like that. Felt quite moved. But a few hours later, maybe a couple of days later, certainly a week or so later, everything just goes back to the way it was. Nothing's changed. Because what they heard from Jesus was good in the moment, yep. But it didn't really make a difference. They didn't really hear it. Maybe like the waiters in the restaurant listening to my accent. They're so caught up with how the message is being put across. They're not actually hearing what is being put across. I mean, we do that with songs all the time, don't we? Have you ever found yourself singing along with a song because the tune is good? And then you realise what you're singing, the words you're singing, the message you're singing, and you think, ooh, probably should have thought a little bit about what was being said rather than just getting caught up with how it was being said. The fact is we get so fixated on how that we don't always think about what. And that can happen so often with Jesus and with church things, church situations. And Jesus warns against being that kind of hearer. Look what he says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You know what? It's a lot easier to dig in sand, isn't it? I mean, to dig in sand is something a 2-year-old could do. And they do. Give them a sandpit. Little kids love a sandpit. To dig on rock is the harder thing to do. It's basically impossible by comparison, isn't it? But Jesus is talking here about people that are building a life for themselves. And they're doing it on sand. Because in that moment, it's way easier to do that. And what's happening there with the digging on sand, the building on sand thing. Well, again, it's got echoes of verse 13, where it talks about the easy way, the broad way to walk down, to live. It's to live life without any real consideration of God and the consequences that might come if you were to acknowledge God or accept God's sort of power in your life. Without any sense of wanting to obey him, it's a lot easier to live life not being a follower of Jesus. In the sense that everything is simpler. You simply do what makes you happy. It's simple because you just think, right, okay, well, I'll just pursue the same things everyone else pursues. Money, comfort, satisfaction, security. It's a lot easier to just kind of follow along that pattern of get good grades at school so you can get a decent job. Well, uni probably is the gap between, but, you know, school, uni, job, relationship, life partner, house, get on the property ladder. Each of these things will happen, and it's easy. Not that each of those individual things is kind of the simplest thing in the world to achieve, but it's so easy just to go along with that thing. This is what a life lived should be about. This is what life is about. It's about doing this and having meaning in this and these moments. That's the easy thing to do. Jesus says that's like digging in the sand, building on the sand. It's very, very easy to just hear Jesus' words and think, that was interesting, and then just walk away from them. That is a lot easier to do than it is to let them challenge you and change you. I wonder if where you are at the moment, as you think about what you've heard about Jesus in the past. Is there anything that you've heard about Jesus in the past, or you've been in situations where you've, you know, you've heard a sermon or something like that, and you thought, oh, that was really interesting, and then you just moved on. And you've just treated it like it was just an intellectual exercise, maybe. Oh, I'd like to think about philosophical issues and deep things, and I really want to get to grips with it, and you've tackled it on that level, but you've not gone any further, really. I think it's, you can know if you're a passive hearer in this respect, if you've engaged with something to do with Jesus, and then at the end you've just gone on with your normal life. Because actually your normal life has been all about foundational things that have nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus is an extra thing that I like to consider, I like to think about, but it doesn't challenge or underpin any of the foundations on which my life is built. It's worth stopping ourselves to ask, isn't it? When it comes to Jesus, the person of Jesus, the words of Jesus, have you been this kind of hearer? How much have the things of Jesus been an extra to you? And how much have they been foundational to you? Because it's very easy to be on the edges of a church community and to just carry on with what people do around you. Maybe you have a spouse that's a Christian. Maybe you have a parent that's a Christian. If you've grown up in the church, it's very easy to just to have come along to church ever since you were little, to hear those same old Bible stories, to sing the song about this passage, that's based on this passage, and to know all these truths, and to have heard Jesus' words, and to have never actually heard Jesus' words. Like singing along with a song, without ever really thinking about what the lyrics are. I think it's a real challenge. If you're school age at the moment, maybe you're watching in your school age, and coming to church was never your idea, someone else's idea. You've heard a lot about Jesus over the years. How much of those things that you've heard about Jesus have made a difference to the way you live? Have made a difference to what you dream about as you grow older? Have made a difference to what your assumptions about future years will look like? Maybe you're watching this now, or you've been involved in the life of this church because you like to dabble in the Bible, because you find it intellectually stimulating. And you like to think about deep things. Or maybe you've come along because you like an emotional connection, you like the singing, or you like to feel a sense of togetherness with people around you. If that's you, then you've heard Jesus. You've heard a lot about Jesus, and you've heard him speaking to you in his word. I don't know how much, but you've heard something. What kind of hearer have you been? There's a real risk that you've only really been a passive hearer. So if that's you, if as you've been listening to this, as you've been looking at this passage, you've thought, you know what, I have been a bit of a passive hearer. Then just consider, okay, what kind of hearer do you want to be? What kind of hearer, when it comes to Jesus and what he says, what kind of hearer do you want to be? And what kind of hearer are you going to try to be as you move forward? And what kind of hearer are you going to be right now as this passage is open in front of you? Jesus warns against sort of coasting along, only being a passive hearer. In verse 26, he really warns, doesn't he? Someone who lives life trying to build themselves, everything and everyone that they think will make them happy. They don't engage with Jesus on a meaningful level. And it's like building a huge empire, you know, like Disney Palace on sandy foundations. And then verse 27, the rainfall comes, the floods come, the winds blow, and they beat against that house, and it falls, and great was the fall of it. If your foundations in life are not truly, meaningfully rooted in Jesus, then at some point, everything's going to come crashing down, is what this passage is saying. It might not be for a few years. It might not be till the day you face death. It might be tomorrow. But at some point, everything is going to come crashing down. And for all of the effort you've put in, for all of the dreams you've had and the things that you've built, you'll be left with nothing. And you'll be standing before God, the Creator. And you'll have to give an account to Him for how you've lived, why you've lived, what you've lived for. And so just please hear the warning tonight. If you think, yeah, I have been a bit of a passive hearer, then hear the warning and turn back to the Lord Jesus and maybe just admit to Him, I've not heard you properly up until now, but I want to hear you properly moving forward. So, big question for all of us tonight to just consider as we wrap up. It's very simple, isn't it? Two types of hearers. If you're a Christian and you're living as a Christian, and you're believing the Lord Jesus and you're seeking to be an active hearer all the time, just stop and consider how active have you been recently in your hearing of the Bible. Could you do with being a little bit more active? Maybe a little less intellectual, a little less habitual. What kind of hearer have you been up until now? What kind of hearer will you be right now? And what kind of hearer are you going to be in the days to come, the weeks to come? Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the challenges that it contains, the encouragements that it contains as well. We just pray simply that you would help us to hear what you have to say to us. And we pray that you would help us to apply it. We pray that your words to us tonight would make a difference. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.